Welcome back to Mamás Chingonas podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening to our episode for today. We have a very special person here as a guest. Her name is Stephanie Villaseñor, and she is a mental health therapist. Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for doing this and giving us the opportunity to have someone like you be on an episode and just kind of break that stigma of what mental health is.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. So, for those of you who don't know, I was able to meet you through Women's Expo. I got an invitation through them to be able to tune in to, the seminars that they did, which was super amazing. I didn't get to take advantage of the entire full 2 days, but luckily you were one of the speakers that I got to talk to, and I tried to do, what you made us do as writing the story or the letter, as if we were a child, which was pretty cool. And I asked you if you wanted to be on our podcast, and thankfully you said yes. So tell us more about yourself and what it is that you do.
Okay, thank you. So like you mentioned, I am a mental health therapist. So I own a practice in Commerce, California, which is close to LA for people who don't know the area. Although currently all my services are telehealth. But basically I provide individual couples and counseling for teens, mostly focusing on issues like anxiety, self-esteem building, healing from our childhood trauma, and working with adult children of alcoholics. Those are more of the topics that I specialize in. And so at the Women's Empowerment Expo, I was able to focus a workshop on a technique that I think is really great for self-care and healing, which is journaling. And so that's one of the things that I love to do with my clients. And I got the opportunity to share it with some other people and do some things that I've done in kind of a small mini version of what I've done in sessions before with clients when it comes to trauma healing.
Yeah, I thought it was such a great technique. And another thing too that I've been kind of on the hunt. I mean, I don't go out too much, but trying to get a journal for my husband because I think I told you, like, I think most men don't really like to talk about their situations or what they have going on. So I want to get my husband a journal because I always, I'm the talkative one. I always try to talk him out and tell me certain things, but he's so quiet all the time. And I think that was such a good a point, a good point, a good technique that you use. And I don't know if it's something you maybe want to share with our listeners, that technique. What do you think?
Oh, sure, absolutely. The activity that we actually did in the workshop, the part where I had you guys write to yourself.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And it might sound a little odd if, of course, there's not a scene being set. But what I like to do with that is in the workshop, I did talk about there's different ways to journal because it can feel very overwhelming if we just don't have any direction. And one of the types of journaling that I like to do in session, or I guess give as homework to some clients, is when we use mindful journaling. So what I mean by that is that we are really focused in emotionally and mentally focused on the journaling process, and it can become very emotionally charged. So we give ourselves space, and it's not something that we would be doing like on a daily basis because it can be very, very, oh my gosh. I'm sorry, pregnancy brain. Sometimes I forget words. I'm pregnant, by the way, also.
It's
I know I already shared that with you. But just so anybody listening is like, she loses her train of thought so easily. but it can be very emotionally charged and triggering. So I usually suggest if you're doing a mindful journaling exercise that it's not something that you engage in like daily or weekly. It's not more, it's more of a get it out, more of an expressive moment. But basically what we did is we are channeling and connecting to the child that we were, and we are writing to that child a letter of the things that we as an adult can say to ourselves to heal from some of the trauma, some of the experiences that we had as a kid. Because as a kid, we're not at a place where we can maybe understand, we're not emotionally as intelligent as we are as adults. So we don't have the ability to heal ourselves at that time, especially if we were in a place where nobody was talking to us about what was going on, if we were experiencing trauma or if we were experiencing any mental health struggles, and if we weren't getting any support, it gives us the opportunity to support ourselves in that space, which is what I think is a big basis of self-love, right? It's kind of the foundation of setting self-love and self-care is you have to love yourself at all different places in your life. When you were a child, when you're a teenager, when you're an adult, love yourself as you continue growing. So it's a piece of healing from what we've experienced while also building love and nurturing that inner child. And that was a long
Yeah,
explanation.
for sure. It's great. It's great. I think what you're doing is, amazing, helping people in their journey, kind of holding their hand as they grow and realize that we all need healing. I think so many of us who are listening, through one way or another, we all live through some sort of trauma. And somehow we have to seek healing, and I think the work that you do is amazing. So thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
being a mental health therapist, because it's so hard for someone to admit that they need help. And
Yes.
like how could you, I guess, not. Like, if you know someone that's hurting, that's been through, certain issues, how do you push them towards getting that help?
Oh, that's a great question. And it's kind of a complex answer, right? Because we could want help for someone before they're ready to receive the help. But I think when it comes to especially mental health struggles, being open and being ready to validate and listen to someone when they're ready to share is a big piece of it, right? So making sure that the language we're using is positive and feels safe for someone who's maybe getting a little bit closer to talking about their issues and being ready to reach out. It's a hard thing to
And
do.
how long do you think I'm sure every trauma is different, but usually, like, as you being a mental health therapist, how long do people usually wait to come to see you? Like, how long has their journey been until they realize, wow, I need to see someone?
Oh, that's a great question. It varies certainly. And because of so many different ways that people end up coming into therapy, I will say this, there's plenty of times where the has nothing to do with the trauma experience. And when they start to feel more comfortable in the therapeutic setting and with their therapist, I mean, for me, anyways, building rapport and having a good relationship with my client is very, very important. And it sets the foundation for the rest of the work. But that's usually when they feel safe enough to actually talk about what they've experienced. So there's been plenty of times where I've had clients who have come for different things that they're struggling with or that they want help with. And as therapy progresses, things come out and we realize, wow, there's a lot of other work that needs to be done. But it really can come out in many different ways. So even if what you're not ready to do is talk about your trauma, going in and feeling comfortable with a therapist and testing the waters and seeing if like, okay, this is a space that I actually do feel safe, and this is a space that I do feel like I can start talking about things that I'm scared to talk about, and I know that it's going to go at my own pace, is kind of a kind of probably a lot of the work I've done with trauma is that we kind of build to it, after they've already kind of felt more comfortable with the relationship between the therapist and themselves.
Why do you think it's so hard for people to open up and talk about their past and talk about, their journey and what they've been through?
I think that as a society, we haven't really given a lot of space for that. I think culturally that there can also play a lot of that can play a huge role in how people talk or even understand their trauma. Even using the word trauma, I think sometimes people feel like it's not the correct word because they don't know like if what they experienced like constitutes a word of trauma. So I think it has a lot to do with just what are the opinions and what are the ideas that we've all been raised with before we even got to a place to feel comfortable saying like this is something that was tough for me in my life and I didn't have any space to share it or to explore or understand, and now I'm ready to do it.
Yeah, do you think there's people that can actually live on mentally okay without seeing a therapist? Or do you think, I mean, probably everybody needs a therapist.
Everybody needs therapy.
Yeah. Just like
I think
retail therapy, right? We all need
that
retail therapy, so we all need mental therapy too.
exactly. Yes, I probably engage in retail therapy too often. So
Don't we
I
all?
understand that struggle. Yeah, I get that struggle definitely. It's funny because when I think about therapy, I've often said like it would be so great if we all saw a therapist at least like once a month. Like every person just like saw a therapist at least once a month. And when like throughout our lifetime and when we're struggling, when we're having like difficult things happen in our life, maybe we increase the amount of times we see them. And then when we're doing, we're on our journey and we're feeling really motivated and we've developed other routines of self-care as well, maybe it's just once a month, but it feels so good to have a space where someone is there to validate how you feel, to listen without judgment and without any connection, which I think is so important, without any connection to what you've experienced. So they don't have their own experience that they're also processing while you're processing it, right? Like, and not to say like, I'm not saying like, I've never experienced trauma. So my clients come in and they're able to just process their trauma. What I mean is we have our own stories. My client has their story. I have my story. So they're in here processing their story and I don't have anything to do with it. So it's not like I have my version of what we both experienced. Does that make sense? I know it's, I feel like I'm like a little long-winded, but and so, with that idea, I feel like any like therapy is great for anybody and it could be however long you want to do. I think therapy can definitely be a lifelong thing. It's just kind of like a routine maintenance of like making sure we're checking in with ourselves and making sure that everything's if we are engaging in some unhealthy things, or if we are engaging in healthy things that we're getting praised and we're getting motivated to continue, or we're working on ways to develop new healthy routines if we have fallen into an unhealthy routine. But there's certainly other therapy is not the only way to grow and heal. And so there, of course, there's definitely other activities or other things that we should be doing even if we are in therapy, like journaling. I'll just throw that out there again.
Journaling. Yeah, no, that's very true. That's very true. I think you make such a huge point. I agree. I couldn't agree better. At least once a month, being able to connect with someone and truly express the way you feel without having them judge you, right? Or criticize your thoughts of what you think you want to do next or accomplish next or what you've been through. So I think that's a very good statement. I've never thought of that. So I think anybody listening can definitely take that into consideration and know that, it's okay to see a therapist even, once a month. It doesn't hurt. And then, we all have our ups and downs. So when we're feeling really low, then we see you every day, right? Maybe twice a day.
Sometimes you need it, yeah. And therapists have
What's the
therapy
normal?
too.
Is that normal? Right? No, is that like what's the normal, like how many times a day or a week do you see patients, like the same patient?
I'd say most common is either weekly or biweekly. So, either the clients want to have weekly session or they'd want to do like a session every other week. And that can vary. You can start maybe once a week, and then as you're progressing and as you're building other self-care routines, you're like, I think I'm ready to like do every other week. And but you want to maintain that relationship and you want to maintain that maintenance of self-care as well.
Yeah, and what made you
For me,
want to
personally.
be, yeah, what made you want to become a therapist?
Well, I guess it's because my dad told me to be a lawyer, and so I was being rebellious. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, he did say that. He was like, you should be a lawyer. And I was like, no, I'm going to study psychology. But really what encouraged me to become a therapist, was my own experiences with anxiety. Just being a kid and just having severe separation anxiety when I was very, very young. And then throughout my childhood and young adulthood. And even now it's something that I'll continue to struggle with, but being alone and feeling very not understanding what I was going through because it wasn't something that we talked about. And I have a very supportive family, but it wasn't something that we understood how to talk about yet was mental health. And a lot of that has to do, I would say, with what a lot of families experience before. There's a lot of generational trauma connected to mental health. And so I think my family experienced a lot of generational trauma connected to mental health. And so it scared them. Mental health and understanding therapy scared them. So it was something that I wanted to learn more about in my own journey of healing. And so realizing that it's something so powerful and something so important has a lot to do with why I decided this is what I want to do. And I think I'm okay at it. Like, I think I'm pretty good at it. So I
Yeah.
figured this is
Oh, I'm
something
sure
that
you're really
Yeah,
good.
like I think this is my talent. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a piece
What?
of self-care, right? Is self-praise, recognizing.
Yes, that's for sure. What exactly is anxiety for listeners who are wondering, what exactly is anxiety? What are the symptoms?
Anxiety. Oh, that's a good question. Well, and the interesting and important piece of anxiety is also to recognize that it is a natural human emotion that we all need in our life, right? There's healthy anxiety. It's fear, it's connected with stress. And sometimes it's very helpful in our life. When it becomes an issue is when it's causing impairments in our life. So struggling with anxiety, symptoms of that can include if it's very irrational fears. It's happening, you're having anxiety or feeling fearful more days than not throughout the week. There's physical symptoms that you can experience, such as panic attacks, difficulty breathing, numbness in your hands can be a piece of that, and that can be a piece of panic disorder as well as anxiety disorder. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to think of all the ways that I usually describe it. Once again, guys, pregnancy brain, sorry. difficulty breathing, numbness, just excessive worry about things that maybe it doesn't make sense that you're worrying about that. It can be a very specific worry that's more of a specified disorder or specified anxiety. So those are some of the symptoms, but it can be very physical. You can get migraines, you can get a lot of body aches because of tension. So that is something too that we experience, especially in the Latinx community, is because there's been so much stigma surrounding mental health that we often find the physical symptoms, the somatic symptoms, what's happening in our body before we recognize what's happening in our hearts and our heads, because that's what's acceptable is like a medical condition, right? Versus a mental health condition. So we often recognize if we're having like stomach cramps, or if we're having a lot of tension in our body, or if we're having difficulty breathing, or we're having headaches, even dizziness, issues even with vision. Oh, sorry. Sorry, that was my dog. Something moved and
It's
she got triggered. She has high anxiety too. So that is something actually to look out for, is if you notice that there's a lot of physical symptoms that you're experiencing that aren't really being, you can't really pinpoint why it's happening, and there's not really a medical explanation. If it's also connected to excessive worry, it could be anxiety that you're struggling with.
Yeah, wow, that's a lot of good information for everybody listening, to know the signs that you have to watch out for. And mainly like anxiety and stuff like that, what kind of techniques do you provide for somebody? Is it, like breathing techniques, or what techniques do you have up your sleeve that you can probably share with people listening?
Yeah, that's a great question. Definitely breathing techniques are one of the first things that are helpful to start working on, because a lot of times we don't realize how our anxiety and our anxious thoughts are affecting our breathing. Like, even though it's something that we do all the time, we don't realize how often we're like holding our breath. So a technique that I like to teach people who are struggling with that is the rule of four. It's one of my favorite breathing techniques, because there's many ways to engage in like deep breathing techniques. But what I like to do is I instruct clients to put their one hand on their lower belly, like so their thumb is touching their belly button, and rolling the rest of the hand down, and then another hand over your chest, and then taking a nice deep breath for 4 seconds through your nose. And as you're doing that, you're feeling your belly expand, and then you hold that for 4 seconds, and then letting it out through your mouth for 4 seconds. And as we're doing that, we do it for four times. So that's why I call it the rule of four, because it's easy to remember. And one thing that I think is so important when it comes to any type of technique for anxiety is that it's easy to remember, because when we're having anxious thoughts or when we're very triggered, it's not that easy to be like, what did my therapist say I should be doing? She said breathe, and just kind of like breathing in and out, maybe like very shallow breathing. It's all in our chest, and we're actually making ourselves hyperventilate. We're actually making it worse, which is something totally common. I've heard people tell me before, like, I have tried breathing techniques and it just makes it worse. And usually it's because we're not focused on the breath. It's a shallow breath. It's just going up into our chest, and it's not going all the way down to our diaphragm. So our body is actually like making I'm sorry, our breath is actually making our body work more versus like doing a nice abdomen breathing. So that's why I always put my hand on my belly. I like to feel it go all the way down, and then you feel your chest kind of rise. So right now I'm actually doing it, because whenever I talk about it, I always have to do it. And a good way to kind of remember it is imagining pouring some water into a cup. The cup gets filled from the bottom up, right? So it's the same thing with our breath, is that our belly gets bigger and then our chest rises. versus our chest rising first, because then the air isn't getting all the way through. And with that, I often suggest that people try it daily when they're not having a lot of trouble with anxious thoughts. Try it before you're having trouble breathing, because the more we try something when we're feeling good, the easier it is to do it when we're not feeling good.
That makes sense. That's a good point. I'm gonna have to start trying that technique. That sounds like a very relaxing technique, especially when you're calm and, not even bothered, and just to try to practice doing that. That sounds like a really good technique to do. Thank you so much for sharing that. So you guys listening, you
Of
better
course,
try it out.
yeah.
That's some really good
Yeah, try it when you're
pointers.
relaxed.
Try it when you're relaxed, for sure. What, like right now with the whole pandemic, happening that we're living in, are you seeing more younger children because there's no school and kids are missing their friends?
I'm not personally, I haven't increased my caseload of children. However, I think that that is something that's really important, and I hope that that's something that other therapists are experiencing. I do know my husband is a special education teacher, and so I feel like I understand a little bit about what the struggle is on both ends, and it definitely sounds like there's a lot going on for children, teens right now, especially teens of maybe low socioeconomic status, because there's so much probably going on in the household and being stuck there right now and trying to be in school at the same time at home. There's just so much pressure and there's just so much that they're struggling with. So, although I haven't had any kids reach out for services since all of this happening, it definitely seems like there's a need.
Yeah, what kind of tips or guidance can you give a parent right now that's listening, that's struggling, having three, four kids at home with no school, and then the parents have to work
Oh,
full
gosh.
time. What could you, what kind of advice could you give them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think firstly, like making sure that you're giving yourself space also as a parent to vent or to get out your frustrations, recognizing that this is a really tough space for you. So it's okay if it's hard. It's okay if you're struggling with it. So making sure that you're giving yourself the space so that when your kids need you and when your kids are struggling as well, that it's not overwhelming, right? Because then you're holding your feelings while you're also holding space for their feelings. So giving yourself grace and maybe even reaching out to friends for support can be really helpful. Just having a soundboard, having someone that can listen to you, that it's okay to complain. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to be frustrated. And making sure you're giving yourself the space to experience all those feelings. That doesn't take the love away that you have for your children. You still love your children. You still think they're great, even if they're bugging the hell out of you. That's okay. You know, those things, yeah, they're not dichotomous. It doesn't mean that it's one or the other. You can love and be annoyed at the same time. So I think making that space first is really important so that you have space for your children.
I think that's great, great advice. Is there anything that you want to add that I probably haven't asked you in regards to, mental health and anxiety and traumas of, our past lives?
I think we talked about a lot of great things. I appreciate you asking these questions and guiding this. I think it's just also important to recognize that a piece, especially for the Latinx community, is to recognize how important community is and how that really is a piece of our self-care. And with this, what I mean is like recognizing that we don't do anything alone. Our ancestors didn't do anything alone. It was a community, it was a collective. And so when we are struggling, realizing that it doesn't have to be, I have to figure this out by myself. I can reach out for support.
Yeah, that's a great tip. That's very, very good for you to share that. I know for me, myself and my husband, he's always working and I'm always with the girls and it's always like, go, go, go. So having, that space for, asking for help, hey, watch the girls while we go on a nice long walk without, having to worry about them, I think is important. And I think, obviously now it's a lot harder because everyone's so busy and everybody does work. Everyone's always working, especially here in the US. That's all, that's what it is. Everybody works. So it makes it harder, but definitely we all need to, find our space, find our time, and keep going. Let everybody know where they can find you, your Instagram, your website, so that people can reach out if they need a therapist. I think it's so important, that we seek help even though we don't feel that we need it. But like you say, growing a relationship with the therapist and maybe just talking to you once a month, and then when we're really in our lows, then we can talk, twice a day.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. My practice is called Villa Senor Counseling. And so my Instagram handle is at Villa Senor Counseling. And that's Villasenor counseling, because I didn't know how to put the ñ in Instagram. but it's not Villa Senor, just in case. And my website is something that I always have to correct. So I appreciate you saying it correctly also. And my website is www.villaseñorcounseling.com. So very easy to remember. And I'm a mental health clinician in California. So as long as you live in the state of California, I can work with you, especially right now because everything is telehealth. You can have a client that lives in Sacramento and I'm located in LA, but you don't have to drive to my office, so you won't be late for your session.
I think that's so amazing. That's so amazing that this, platform is available for everyone. You just get in your car, take your phone, and then they just see you through their, camera. I think it's so amazing. And you don't have to drive anywhere. You don't have to worry about being there at a certain time. So I think, mental health is just something nobody wants to talk about. Nobody ever wants to accept that they need it. And for everybody listening, I don't do this podcast alone all the time. It's usually my cousin and I. So we really like to bring awareness throughout the entire, podcast of a lot of different scenarios, a lot of traumas that we've been through, and just letting people know that it's okay that you're allowed to express your feelings, you're allowed to talk about what you've been through. And it's so hard. And it's so hard when you're actually going through pain, when you're currently suffering or you're currently in a hard situation. But then when you're able to look back and have perspective and be like, damn, I went through that and now I'm here. And just having that personal healing, and it's amazing and it's crazy how you can, suffer for so long and be able to come out okay, through all the struggles at the end of the day, things even out. You can turn out to be okay. But I wish through my traumas I was able to see a counselor or a therapist because it's so important. And I then didn't realize, and I was a lot younger, how important it is until now. Now that I'm 30, now that I'm a mom, now that I'm a wife, I realize how important it truly is to have, someone like you. And I think it's amazing what you do. So thank you so much for being on the podcast and guiding us.
Thank you.
And hopefully, our listeners or whoever may need help can reach out, especially through these crazy times that, this crazy pandemic we're living in. So, and I can't wait for you to have your baby. Congratulations, you're a first time mama.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate you sharing that. And I just do want to remind you also that there's never an expiration date on our trauma. We can always go back and heal and process things.
Well, there you have it, guys. There is never an expiration date on our trauma. We could always go back and heal. What a powerful statement from Stephanie Villaseñor. Thank you again so much for taking the time out of your busy, busy day, seeing your patients, to be able to jump on here and bring more awareness about mental health problems. So again, you guys, always know that you're not alone. If you need to reach out to someone, please do so. Stephanie Villaseñor, she left her information in case anybody needs to reach out, and we are all in this together. So I hope you guys are all staying safe, staying sane. Hopefully this whole pandemic can be over soon, and for a lot of you moms and dads listening, you could definitely get into a better mental state of mind, because right now things are crazy. Kids are not in school, parks are closed, everything's closed, and it's hectic. And if we're able to have someone like Stephanie, it would just kind of help us ease throughout our journey. So I hope you guys stay safe. Everyone take care, and let me know what kind of topics you want to listen to next. Find us on Instagram at Mamas Chingonas Podcast. You can also find us on our email at mamaschingonaspodcast@gmail.com. Well, you guys stay sane, and hopefully you'll hear from us next week. Take care.